Good morning, my friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to Morning Glory, our midweek Bible study, and I'm so glad that you are here today. We're going to have a great time in the Word of God, so I want to invite you, grab your Bibles. We're going to start today in John chapter 2, and I want to get into an area that's very, very interesting about avenging all disobedience, or even as some translations say, punishing all disobedience. It's really fascinating. So today's subject is really on the topic of faith, but I want to show you how that obedience is actually the stronghold of faith, okay? So Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit move upon the eyes of our understanding so that we can see the clarity of your word and then walk in the light of it and then make practical application of it. Now, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. And together we say amen. Woo, praise the Lord. John chapter 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And we know that this miracle, this supernatural sign, was something that was wrought as an example of God's power and as an example that this is a new season. Amen. And I tell you what, my friends, God wants to do miracles in your life. But so much of this, of course, is based upon when God gives an instruction or when God talks, whether it's from the Word or whether it's from the inward witness and you're picking up on it, picking up on it. Well, the blessing really comes when we walk out and do what we have been instructed or we are being led by the Spirit of God to do. So we can know when faith is at work and also when faith is not at work. And faith is not just believing what God has said. Faith is essentially doing what he has said to prove that we believe it. Woo, praise God. So note that also in this miracle of the water being turned to wine, I think it's very interesting that there's no fanaticism. Nobody's screaming. Nobody's like shaking. Woo, I feel the glory. Nobody's falling out. Nobody's rolling on the pavement. It's just a very smooth miracle. As a matter of fact, if this were recorded and uploaded to YouTube as a short, it's probably not going to get very many views. If you posted this little snippet on Instagram of really, you know, like the main moment, I mean, how exciting is water turning to wine? I mean, you know, it's not bubbling or anything like that. It's not overflowing or it's just a very smooth miracle. Now, here's something that you need to understand about miracles. Many times they are very, very smooth. It happens almost to the point where you could attribute it to, and I know some do, they attribute it to, well, maybe it was a big misdiagnosis. Yes, maybe the doctors were never right in the first place. No, they were right. We have proof. We have the x-rays. We have all of the charts. Well, yes, this is a real miracle. Well, yeah, but it just like went away. Yes, God did the miracle. So, or let's say you need a financial miracle and you've sowed and then suddenly something comes in and you think, well, wow, that was really neat. Seems so easy though. You don't always need fireworks. And God doesn't always do things that way. We have examples in the Bible where there are those type of workings of God, but other times it's very, very smooth, very, very easy. So here, there's no jumping, shouting, screaming, hollering. It was just a miracle, and it was very, very smoothly worked. And so in some ways, you could say it was not a dramatic miracle in the sense of how it was performed, but the results were quite staggering. So this is what we need to understand. It was simple faith in action that was worked out through a practical application. In other words, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it. Okay, so he did say some things to them, and they just did it. That's all you have to do. Well, I believe that that's nice. That's nice, but now you actually have to put feet to it, walk it out, and do it. Faith is not just believing the word. The devil also believes and trembles. Now, we know that. That, of course, is James chapter 2, verse 19. Faith without works is dead. But just being in agreement with God is not faith. Putting God's word to work with an assurance in our hearts that God is faithful. Now, that's when you're getting over into the true, genuine, biblical faith. Let's take a look at that for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. I like the 11:11s. It says here that by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. In other words, she's gone through menopause. It's over concerning that chapter of her life. But, you know, she believed God. And it says, because she judged him faithful before the miracle ever happened. She judged God to be faithful, who had made the promise. So you can't walk around, you know, grumbling, doubting, kind of like complaining. Well, you know, no, you have to judge God faithful right now. God, before I ever see it, I know it's already as good as done. God, I know that even if I can't see it, you're still working, whether it's something in your life, maybe something in your children's life, maybe in something in the life of someone you're praying for. You have to judge God to be faithful. So putting God's word to work with an assurance in our hearts that God is faithful, that's what true faith is. Note also that faith is not just saying things. Faith is doing things. Faith is doing what is commanded, not just saying what is commanded. It's doing what is commandment. So saying, while it's essential and it is good, doing it really is what gets you over into the area of being submersed in the real thing. Woo, praise God. Look at this in the life of Abraham, who is a spiritual father of faith, someone that we can look at his life and we can follow his example and we can get really good results. Now, verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So he gets an instruction from God. God instructs him to do something. You know, you'll have moments like that in your life, and then you'll find out if you have the same order of Abrahamic faith. And what is that order? Well, verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So God said, go do this. The next morning, he's up early, and he arose and went. So it's not just hearing and saying, oh, I believe. No, it's also the doing. It's literally the going. Well, I'm sitting here, talking to you today, and, you know, while before I was in full-time ministry, I was ministering a lot. I was still working full-time. But there came a morning when I went, I was going into work and I was getting ready that morning. And before I left the house, the Lord spoke to me and said, when you go into work this morning, turn in your two-week notice. You're going into the ministry full-time. Well, I could have said, Lord, I heard you, and that would be true. I could have said, I believe you, and that would have been true. But if I had not had turned in my notice, what is that actually saying? It's saying I don't really have faith in God. So despite the fact that I only had, you know, three meetings on the schedule as an itinerant type minister, you know, prophetic ministry, I went ahead and turned my notice in. And ever since that day, God has sustained, you know, my family and I, and has increased and grown the ministry. But, you know, I went in and turned in my notice. And I've shared this testimony before, but when I did, not just the manager, but the regional manager said, Stephen, are you sure you want to do this? We had already had a meeting this morning amongst the leaders, the managerial team, and we decided this morning to promote you, and he named another person that I worked with. We have decided to promote both of you into managerial positions, and we really want both of you. We want you to climb the ladder of the corporate world here. And, you know, it's a big corporate world in the sense of that company. They're all over the world and actually a fantastic company. And I said, well, I said, thank you for the opportunity. In the years I've been here, I really, really have loved every minute of it. You know, it's been really good for me, and I've loved the company. I love the company, but I've got to do what I've got to do. He said, okay, I understand. And off I went. But my friends, we have these Abrahamic moments where God says, do this. And the next morning, you see Abraham doing it, not having a prayer fasting session. Let us all get together and discuss this. No committee meeting. God said, do it. You just go do it. God told me, turn in your notice. Okay, I did that morning. Woo, praise the Lord. Amen. So what does it mean? It means that obedience is the stronghold of your faith. Not just a saying, not just a talking. All that's nice, okay? But obedience, the actual doing of it, that is the stronghold of your faith. Praise the Lord. And until we begin to do what we claim to believe, our faith is fake. It's not even real faith. It's fake faith. Woo, praise the Lord. Now, I know in some of you, the gears are turning, and you might be thinking, well, you know, this is kind of reminding me of brother so-and-so. Yes, you'll run into brother fake faith so-and-so and sister fake faith so-and-so, and, you know, for years and years talking, but actually never even making initial steps to walk out what they proclaim to believe. Well, why? It's fake faith. Any Christian who seeks to make God absolutely responsible for the events of their life has an irresponsible faith. They put the whole thing over on God. Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, brother, you've been waiting a long time. Now there is the need for faith and patience. But even in your patient state, while you can't accomplish the whole thing, you can still be busy working on a small phase of it, maybe like the initial phase. There's always something to do. But some people, they're actually not doing anything in any of those areas. So our strongest weapon in the world of the Spirit is obedience. Praise the Lord. Now let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and look at a day in the life of Saul. This was a major fork in the road moment for him, where his destiny is either going to go in the right direction or it's going to take a detour that he's not going to recover from. Well, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I mean, stop and think about it. Is God really excited about a cow getting barbecued, the smoke going up, and God says, yeah, I tell you what, that smell drives me crazy. I'm really in the animal sacrifices. No, is that really what's moving God? Or is he basically looking for the pleasing fragrance of obedience? Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, that means to pay attention and do what you're instructed, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Now, the fat of rams would be like a very special offering that's given. But my friends, the king is already getting off track. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. So he's obeying the wrong voice. The people were like, hey, Saul, there's a lot of spoil here. There's a lot of good stuff. Why don't we take it? I mean, we know that God told you to destroy everything as we go into this enemy camp, because if we don't, they're going to destroy us. But hey, let's take some of this stuff. And, you know, Saul compromised and listened to the people and got himself in trouble. He said, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. The fear of man, we're told in Scripture, is a snare. And so we would have, we should have the deepest respect and reverence for what God says in His Word. And let me also highlight this reality. This is a sobering truth. Anything that God tells you to do, you never have to apologize for it. Well, I hope you understand, but you don't have to do that stuff. If God tells you to do something, and God, if you're Jonah and God tells you to go preach in Nineveh, you don't have to go around apologizing. Well, I preached that sermon. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. I know you're doing awful, wicked things. I didn't mean to upset your day. No. Praise the Lord. You don't have to grovel and go around like some kind of a troll. No, praise the Lord. When God is instructing you to do something, you can do it with absolute full assurance, and it will work every single time. Mm-mm. And God's not trying to, spoil Saul's fun. He's actually trying to preserve Saul's kingdom. And if you don't walk in obedience, you're giving the enemy a legal open door to attack your life. And trust me, he will exploit that opening, especially if you're in leadership and you're the king. Oh yeah, he's going to come through that door in all kinds of different ways. But my friends, we have got to do the right thing. Praise God. And again, to obey is better than sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your obedience to the Word of God is your stronghold in the race of life. You become unbeatable against all the forces of hell when you walk in obedience. How could that be? Because they don't have access. They don't have access. And they know your authority as a child of God. And when you know that authority and you're walking in obedience, they have zero access into your life. Whatever you desire to accomplish in life, as you obey God, it will be accomplished by faith. And problems begin to swiftly exit your life when obedience is carried out. Praise the Lord. So do the right thing, even if it means, like King Saul would have to do in a sense, you have to stand alone. In other words, the people aren't happy with you. And, you know, back then it wasn't like a voting type democracy. It was more of a theocracy. And God was supposed to be the king over the people, but they wanted the king like the other nations, so they got themselves a king. So he's in. It's not like you can vote him out. But, you know, Saul greatly wanted the people to like him. But we have to do the right thing, even if it means you stand alone. But when you stand alone and do the right thing, God's always with you, and it can really serve as a witness that even if it's a silent witness, in other words, you're not preaching or something like that, you're just living the life, they can read you just like you can read a book. They can read your actions. You know, my father is in heaven. He lived his life out. He died. He's in heaven now. He loved the Lord. He's a Christian, you know, so he's in heaven. But he never understood the walk of the Holy Spirit. He never understood the supernatural. So he was very much against that, which in a sense also meant that he was against everything that I teach from the Word of God. And so he would not agree with me on many biblical issues. And you know, the best thing to do with that is we just didn't really talk about it, because he did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was vehemently opposed against tongues, miracles, and, didn't believe in any of that. So, neither does anybody pretty much else in my family. I'm the only one. Praise the Lord. Amen. But, you know, I went on with the Lord, and they know how I believe, and they know who I am, but they don't embrace any of that. But, you know, one time I was talking with my dad when we had like a family get together. This was maybe almost like a little over 20 years ago. And so both of my brothers were there, and, you know, kind of a fun family thing. And so this is when my parents lived up on a mountain, and there was another mountain next to them, and you could hike over to it. It was a pretty grueling hike, but you could go up to the top of that mountain, and there was a ranger station. Now, it was unmanned. There was nobody there, and there was a lookout tower. And, you know, at the top of the lookout tower, you could see for miles and miles, and, you know, it had this epic type view. And so on this one particular Saturday, you know, it was going to be like a family hike. And so Kelly and I were there, but, you know, the ladies didn't want to do the hike. It was too far, too intense. So just me and my brothers did the hike. We all left at different times and made the journey. And so I made the long hike, you know, and did the long walk and stuff like that. Finally got up to the top of the other mountain, and there was the lookout tower. Oh, this is going to be great. I can get a great view. Got up to the lookout tower, and as I got through all the trees and all the bushes and all, I saw a huge fence around the entire base of the tower, and a sign said, "Government property, no trespassing." Now, of course, there's nobody there. You know, nobody's manning this tower. Nobody's going to be showing up to check on the tower. And the devil said, "We'll just climb over the fence." You know, because that's a piece of cake. It's only, what, 10 feet high. It's, you know, chain link metal. No sharp edges. Just climb up, go over, and then go up the tower. Enjoy yourself. Have a nice view. And I said, "Oh, no, devil." I said, "I'm not doing that. The Bible says you shall not trespass." So despite that I wanted to go up the tower, you're not allowed. The sign says don't do it. So I turned around and made my long journey back to my dad and mom's place. Well, I got back, and later that afternoon, my dad said, "Well, how was y'all's hikes?" You know, he's asking me and my brothers. We all said, "It was really good. It was really good." And so my dad says to my older brother, "Well, did you go up the tower?" He goes, "Oh, I sure did. Yep. You climbed over the fence?" He goes, "Yep, I sure did. Went straight up it. Great view. Great view." And then, now we're all standing together. And then he says to my younger brother, "Well, did you go up the tower?" He goes, "Yeah, I sure did. Went. So he said, "You went over the fence?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, just went right over it. No problem to climb that. Went straight up the tower, all the way to the top. Sure was a nice view." And they're not even thinking anything about it, because that's just what, you know, they do. Who cares what the sign says? And so my dad looks at me and says, "Well, Stephen, how about you? Did you go up the tower?" "No." "You didn't?" "No." "How come?" "Because the sign said no trespassing." Got real quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. You could have heard a pin drop, and suddenly the reality that, and it hit the other two, the reality that they just broke the law. And God saw that. It suddenly kind of like dawned, and then of course nobody's really comfortable, and they kind of disperse. But my boy, that registered with my dad more than me preaching 100 sermons. Woo! Praise God. Amen. So faith, your faith in God, will have the appropriate corresponding actions. Mm-mm. So do the right thing. Even if you stand alone, God will always stand with you. And by the way, that's how you get to the top, with a good conscience. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look, I've been to Pastor Stephen, though I feel sorry for you, you missed out on a good view. I've been to the Himalayan mountain range. I've had views, you know, I've climbed the highest mountain in North America with no oxygen tank. So, you know, it's not like a, you know, 2 mile view is going to like float my boat. But the thing is that just whatever the situation is, according to God's word, do the right thing. Mm-mm. Praise God. Woo, glory. John chapter 21. Let's jump over there. John 21. I see blessing coming your way. Well, Pastor Stephen, blessing is just really a result of luck and being in the right place. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that in the church. Honestly, it doesn't even work like that out in the world. You have to do the right thing if you want to go upwards, praise the Lord, and stay there and have peace while you're there. Mm-mm. I know a lot of people in the world who are in places where the world looks at them with great envy. They have phenomenal notoriety, wealth that you couldn't even spend it all, so much money that even if you tried, it's almost impossible to spend it all. I'm talking about like billionaire plus type status. But behind the scenes, I have seen behind the scenes, and there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It's a wonderful thing. But when people come into it and they don't have a good walk with the Lord, it's amazing all of the drugs they've got to take in order to like somehow try to stabilize their life because of all of the quirks and of all of the fears and insecurities. And all of that is hidden. Nobody in public ever sees that. But behind the scenes, I would never want to be in places like that without God. Mm-mm. And may your hand also never hold anything that God doesn't want you to hold. May you never be in any place that God doesn't want you to be, no matter how beautiful, exquisite it is. May you be in the center of God's will all the days of your life. And may your journey upward be sweet because it's based in faith and it's based out of obedience. And therefore, your journey, your blessing is something that you can really enjoy. Praise the Lord. Look, I'm not on any pills. I'm not taking any pills, potions, or anything like that. I don't have anything like that. We used to have some medicine at home, but most of the medicine we've ever had is long expired. It never gets used, like a cold medicine or something like that. Just throw it away. That doesn't mean I wouldn't go to a doctor if I needed to. I certainly would. But there is something about how God can preserve and keep you. And when you're walking right with God, I tell you what, you're walking in a place of safety, protection, prosperity, increase, and health. Praise God. Now, John 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Oh, and he was correct. You know, obedience brings increase. And Jesus said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. So obedience brings increase. And obedience will also bring different levels of insight into God, His nature, and character. Because the moment they obeyed, okay, now you're into financial increase. And the moment they obeyed, John's like, "Hey, that's Jesus over there. Woo! What was that?" That was a revelation that he caught. So obedience brings revelatory insight into God, further insight into His ways. Praise the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we hear phrases like, "God's going to do it for you." And things like that are very exciting and they're very good. You know, it can be like a positive faith statement. But, you know, in some ways, if that's all we kind of embrace, then that would be an incomplete truth. So it's actually knowing and doing our part. That's what commits God to bring blessing and to release wonderful things into our lives. And until our part is done, God is not committed on His end. And that might be something new for a young believer to understand. Again, until our part is done, God is not committed. But faith is accepting our spiritual responsibility in order to commit God's integrity. Now, He will watch over His word and He will perform it, but He's also looking for our obedience. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is not just, God will do it for you, brother. Hang in there. But faith is doing what God says, which causes God to perform his word in your life. You know, sometimes I see from time to time certain ministers put out like endless prophetic words, sometimes even daily. And it's almost like reading the horoscope in the newspaper. You know, like you get like a horoscope is basically written by somebody who is a, you know, supposed guru or something like that. And they're trying to say, this is how your life will be. If you're like one of the 12 signs of the zodiac, this is the way your day is going to go, et cetera, et cetera. And they're always very generalized, super bland statements that you could switch them back and forth and it really fits for anybody. But sometimes it's like that with these so-called daily prophetic words. And they're always saying that something good, something good, something good. But there's never anything saying you also have a personal responsibility in order for this to happen. And so that's often not said. It's just, you know, this wonderful thing is going to happen to you today. And then the next day they've got another prophecy. And again, it's all very general. It's almost like a horoscope. And there's nothing ever said where you need to be obedient to the Lord. You need to live your life right. So that's the other side. Praise God. But my friends, faith is accepting spiritual responsibility in order to commit God's integrity. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-mm. Now, here is a very interesting scripture. I want us to go to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start in verse 3. You know, I'm thinking about these types of verses and this subject material today, mainly because of the phone calls I get, of the emails I get, of desperate, hurting, needy people who need God to move in their life. And here's what God needs. God needs them to move in the right direction. Pastor Stephen, I'm not interested in that. I just want out of this mess. I want God to do a miracle. Well, God wants us to obey him. He wants us to do the right thing, lest he do the miracle and then 3 months go by and guess what? We're right back in the same mess again. Oh no, Pastor Stephen, if God gets me out, I'll never venture here again. But you said that last time. So, God's looking for our obedience. Now, look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when, okay, so here's a time frame of how swiftly God can move in your life to get the devil off your back, to get the devil out of your life, and to get some crazy problem situations dried up and evaporated out of your life. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, let's take a look at this from some other translations. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 6. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we are ready to punish all disobedience. We are ready to punish all disobedience. We are ready to avenge all disobedience. That's the American Standard Version. We are ready to execute the punishment. Woo! Praise the Lord. NIV. We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So there can be a vengeance against all disobedience. Yes, Pastor Stephen, I'd like to see all of this stuff that has harassed me and all of the things the devil has done to me over the years. I'd like some payback. I'd like to see it out of my life, and I'd like to see like a revenge, like a retribution. Well, God says we can get into that when your obedience, is fulfilled. Pastor Stephen, I believe that's nice. So does the devil. The devil believes too, and he trembles. But don't think for a second that he's going to exercise any faith and do the right thing. And there's no way, no way. But my friends, we have that choice and that ability to walk in obedience. So there is a time, my friends, when disobedience can be punished, when it can be avenged, and that's when our obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Never put off obeying the Lord. Do the right thing right now, and you can start walking out of any problematic area of your life. I had a call from a pastor yesterday with some pretty sticky situations. And so, and his request, Pastor Stephen, please pray, please pray, please pray. And to let all your intercessors know to pray. Okay. Before we start doing all of this praying, I need to ask you some questions. Number one, are you tithing? Big pause. When the question is asked, are you tithing? Kind of a big pause, slow response. No, Pastor Stephen, we're not tithing because, and it starts going off track. Because of a building fund, or because of we had some needs arise, or whatever it might be. Oh, so the scripture tells me that if you're not tithing, the devil has legal access to your life. But for the tither, the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer. So it seems to me there's like a whole lot of devouring going on over here. Why don't we have vengeance on all of this junk, which is based out of disobedience, by starting to do the right thing and turn it around? Well, now I'm going to have to pray about that, Pastor Stephen. Why pray? Why not just obey? Why not just do the right thing and start obeying and walk out of this mess? So the stronghold of your faith is your obedience. Do the right thing every single time and in every single situation. You know, there used to be the wristband that with the very super popular slogan, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But it was always cast in like grayscale, like, well, we never really know. I guess he would just walk in love and he would bless and pray over body. That's what Jesus would do. My friend, if you have all kinds of weird problems, but let's say you could step out of your shoes and go sit down for 36 hours, okay, for just a short time frame. Could do it less than that. But let's say you just disappear out of your life and you sit down in a lazy boy recliner and Jesus takes your form and he looks just like you and he steps into your shoes with the same mess. He's now inherited your mess, all of your stuff. What would he do? Well, Pastor Stephen, he would understand the struggles I'm going through, and he would understand, and he would reach for the same coping mechanisms that I do, and he would go to my refrigerator, and he'd pop a cold beer. No. The first thing he'd do, he'd go to your fridge, get all of that alcohol out, and throw it in the dumpster. Mm-mm. He would start doing the right thing. Well, Pastor Stephen, if he were in my shoes and he understood the great financial pressure that is on my life because of my poor decisions, then I know exactly what Jesus would do. WWJD, what would Jesus do? He'd go down to the local gas station and he'd take the remaining money and he'd buy some lottery tickets because he would understand that if he wins it big, we're out. Jesus also understands that that's total insanity because you have a much greater chance of being struck by lightning than you do of winning that stupid lottery. And the state system knows that. The house in Vegas knows that. All the odds are stacked in their favor. That's why when Mr. Steve Wynn built that one particular casino that he built that cost over $1 billion to build, he paid the thing off with cash within 1 year. Well, Pastor Stephen, that's amazing. I wonder how he did that. He did that with all the losers that came in and gambled and lost their money. House always wins. You're in the wrong house if you're buying a lottery ticket. You're in the wrong house. If Jesus stepped into your shoes, he would simply start doing the right thing. And this is the right thing. He would just start obeying the word. And problems just start, they just start to get healed. Why? When you're committed to the word of God fully, and you're in full faith, like Sarah eventually became, where she judged God faithful, now God commits to stepping into your life and divinely intervening, and he's committed with you. Why? The word is performed when your obedience is settled. Praise God. And being ready to punish, being ready to avenge. You need to join the Avengers, praise God. And let there be some retribution and payback for all the junk that the devil's put on you. And being ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Stop reaching for wrong stuff. Start doing the right thing. Yes, yes, it can be challenging. Yes, you might stand alone, but do the right thing. And I'll tell you what, your trajectory will start going up so quick, so fast. God begins to move in your life. He begins to perform the word that he promised you. Why? The promise has now been upgraded to a status called covenant. But you only get into that when your obedience is on the line. You're all in. You're all in. And you're not doing this other stuff anymore. Let me pray for you. Lift your hands. Father, I pray for those that are watching. This message would be for those that are very serious about fulfilling the assignment that you've given them. And they know they need your help. And they're wanting your help. And they're going to need it. But in order for you to come in, there must be the obedience factor. So, Father, I just thank you that they're going to, as we would say, dot the I, cross the T, they're going to follow your word, and they're going to do it. Even if the family members don't understand it, they're going to do the right thing. Even if people snicker behind their back, or even if they're ridiculed, or even if they're mocked or maligned, they're going to do the right thing. And I thank you, Father, that with the hundredfold blessing comes the hundredfold persecution. But Father God, I thank you, they're going to walk in blessing so thick that people's heads will spin concerning how is this working? I thank you, Father, that your people are coming into a covenant of obedience. Well, they'll do the right thing. Even if it would appear to be apparent loss, they will do the right thing. They will not cheat. They will not steal. They will not lie. They will not defraud somebody else for personal gain. I thank you, Father God, you're going to take them to the top. I thank you, Father, for the tithers. I thank you for the givers. I thank you for those that choose to do the right thing. Now, Father, we give you all of the praise. We thank you that all of your commandments are for our safety, our protection, and for our lifting up. Now, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Now say this, say, I delight in all of God's commandments. Say this, say, God's commandments are never burdensome. I love all of them. Woo. Praise the Lord. God's moving by the Holy Spirit right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Glory to God. My friends, on March 31st is Resurrection Sunday morning. Resurrection Sunday morning. It is a day that we commemorate because it's the day that God gave his best. and his best was his son. And on that day, let's also honor the Lord by giving a very special offering. Yes, we're going to bring the tithes in as we normally do, but I want to encourage you to sow a special seed on resurrection, what many people call Easter Sunday morning, March 31st. And I want you to believe for God to do the miraculous in your life, that your seed, that God will see it, and that God will break you into levels that you know you're called to stand in, that you know you're called to walk in. Praise God. All right, so either on that day, or if you get it ready before that day, send it in, mail it in, or bring it in online. I'm going to pop up the information on the screen right now of how you can give. Praise the Lord. But I will be looking for your March 31st resurrection Sunday morning offering. Praise the Lord. A special seed of breakthrough. Amen. And your special offering will move the ministry forward so that we can continue to teach God's word all over this planet, praise God, to hungry Christians that want to know how to please the Lord and how to walk in the blessings, because you don't get into them through luck or some kind of a random act. No, you get into them through intentional obedience, through diligent faith, praise God. All right, so thank you for your giving. Let me just pray over your giving as you're preparing your seed. Father, bless them as they're pulling their offering together. Speak to their hearts if they have not yet prayed about what to do. Show them what to do, and I thank you that they will obey delightfully. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm going to give something, but I'm not happy about it. Don't give anything. If God cannot bless something that's done in unbelief and complete disobedience. No, that's okay. This is for the obedient. This is for those that want to dance it in. This is for those that love the Lord. Amen. Send it in. I'll be praying over it and looking for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The scripture says, if you be willing and obedient, not just obedient, but willing. You have to have the right heart. That's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And it also, we see that even with the offering that God instructed Moses to receive from the children of Israel, whether it be gold, silver, brass, or precious gems, or different types of cloth that would be used in the construction of the tabernacle, God said, present it to them to give those who have a willing heart. If they don't have a willing heart, this is not for them. You know, you have to have a willing heart. Obedience. Glory to God. Amen. And I believe God is blessing you so that you can do something special. Praise God. Glory to the Lord. Amen. You know, amongst my Catholic brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, it would be known as the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Oh, yes, Pastor Stephen, I love the deeper things. You'll never get into the deeper things without obedience. It would be as frustrating as trying to catch an eagle while you're running on the ground. You'll never, ever. It's too high. It's just too high. So you can get into those things of deep communion with the Lord through obedience. I talked to a minister recently who greatly valued the supernatural encounters I've had, who loves my stories of my heavenly visions and being taken to heaven in the spirit and seeing things and having met Jesus and angels, loves all of that. Pastor Stephen, I want to come into that. And so he greatly values this one area, but I talked to him about other areas. Oh, he's not really into that. He just wants the supernatural, wants the prophetic. But I said, brother, I sowed my way into that. It's not just praying all the time. It's not just praying and fasting all the time. I sowed my way into that. I'm a giver. I'm obedient in the things of God. Yes, I pray. Yes, I seek the Lord through spiritual disciplines. But how close can you get to God? How much of God's heart will he allow you to access If there's major areas of disobedience in your life and you're not willing to address them. Mm-hmm. Sacred Heart. Amen. Where your heart gets, it's like it literally gets fused to His heart. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus was teaching, it said that He knew what they were thinking. He knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. I know exactly what that is. I can preach. I've been in studios. While I'm teaching and ministering, I can tell what the person behind the camera is thinking. I'm picking up on all of that. Praise the Lord. And so when I minister, I pick up by the Holy Spirit what we could call invisible feedback. So I know what the Lord is doing. It reminds me of the time of St. Joseph of Cupertino said that he was serving communion one time. And so he had the wafer and he's trying to break this little thin wafer and he could hardly break it. And later he said the hearts of that person, and there's a couple of people in the meeting, but particularly one, the hearts of those people and that particular person, their hearts were so hard. That's why I could hardly break the communion, because of their hardness. And God wants us to have soft hearts where if we realize we're going in the wrong direction, we can have enough humility to say, I'm wrong on this, and I'm not going to act like I don't know this and keep on going. No, I'm going to make a U-turn, and I'm going to come back to the Lord and do it the right way. Praise God. Amen. And that's something that really the Lord greatly, greatly values. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God's grace is there. But let us now prepare to receive communion. I want to ask you to grab some unleavened bread, and I want to ask you to grab some grape juice. While you're doing that, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then it's time for you to pray and get your life right with God today. I want to lead you in prayer. Or if you're listening to me and you're just not living for God like you should, you love God, you want to go to heaven. After all, who doesn't, right? But you're just not really into the obedience factor. My friends, it's time to come on in. Come on into the safe place. I couldn't imagine in the chaos and the fragileness of this world in which we live today, where people get shot just walking down the street, or just all of the danger factors. I couldn't imagine just going around in disobedience with open doors for the enemy to hit. No, come on in to the safe place and make a full commitment today to serve the Lord and obey Him. I'll pray for you also. Now, if you don't know Jesus, just pray this. And if you're rededicating or you're recommitting, pray this along with me as well. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to You. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me with Your precious blood. Write my name in Your book of life. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for saving me. Step into my life today. Lead me and guide me in all that I do. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. I tell you what, get into the happy zone, get into the joy zone of walking close to God. Now, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the bread and the juice. Through this prayer, we set it apart as being holy. And we thank You that this is now the body and the blood of Jesus veiled under the form of bread and juice. Father, as we receive the Lord's flesh, we thank You that You, through Your Son, have made full provision for victory, where we don't have to be subjugated to the devil in any area of our life, not even in our bodies. Thank You, Father God, that as we receive the flesh of Jesus, we thank You for empowering us to overcome everything that the world would try to put in our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the Lord's body. This will do for you what no vitamin jar can ever do. This will do for you what no multivitamin could ever do. Mm-mm. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the cleansing power of the blood. We thank you that all of our past sins have been burned up and there's nothing left of them but ashes. Father, we thank you that if the enemy reminds us of our past, we will remind him of his future, his eternal doom. Father, we thank you that we have eternal life in us through your Son and that we will go to live with you forever in heaven. We thank you for victory in the here and now, and we now receive the Lord's blood. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive together. Praise God. The church is rising up in mighty, mighty power. And in doing so, and part of the reason why there is that rising up is because the church is casting off and throwing off things that have held it down. Praise God. Glory to the Lord. I see you avenging all disobedience. I see you viewing sin as not something that's funny or something that's to be joked at, but something that you realize is dangerous. Paul the Apostle said in the Word of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let no coarse jesting come out of your mouth, no crude joking. And you'll realize, even in these areas that sometimes even other believers would do, you realize that's not right to do that. I'm not going to do that. Why? It'll go off the cliff real quick. If you start talking like that, it'll go from coarse jesting, crude joking. It'll go off into the gross, dirty zone real quick. That's why the Bible says don't do it. Doesn't mean you've got to go around speaking flowery King James English, but it does mean that you're sharp. And you don't, when the Bible says don't do something, you don't do it because it's for your safety and your protection. I see you as a person who walks in the Spirit, and that is also a walk of obedience. Father, I pray your blessing upon those that are watching, those that made it this far towards the end of this message. I pray that grace be upon them. And I pray, Father, that even if others would go through a door that requires compromise, that they would be willing to say, I can't go through that door because that violates God's word in something that I'm not allowed to do. I thank you, Father, for strength and backbone. And it's that strength that you are honoring in this hour and that you are causing great supernatural promotion in this hour. Father, I just pray everyone under the sound of my voice will do the right thing, which is the word thing. Father, we give you all of the praise. We give you all of the praise. I see your people rejoicing in their stronghold, which is the stronghold of obedience. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Well, my friends, faith has works. Go forth today and stay busy appropriating your faith, working your faith, and putting your hands to what God has called you to do. Good success is your portion. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you back again real soon. Bye-bye.